Good morning and welcome along to Clare FM's Farm Focus. It's James Mulhall with you here today. Coming up, we'll be talking about cross compliance with Chagas, and I'll also be bringing you a special report from the ICMSA's AGM, which was held in Limerick yesterday. First, though, we'll take a look at the weekend's weather. So this morning, the rain will clear in the north and northeast, and it will be followed by a few brighter sunny spells and isolated showers. A further spell of rain will push into the southwest by the evening time. Top temperatures today of around 6 to 12 degrees, and it will be coolest in the north. Rain in the southwest will become widespread tonight and it will clear by morning. Sunday we'll see some outbreaks of showery rain but some dry periods as well with a few bright or sunny spells. Afternoon temperatures tomorrow will be ranging between 7 and 12 or 13 degrees, again coolest in the north. And into next week then, it will continue rather unsettled in the early days with a risk of frost on Monday night and a heavy spell of rain expected to move across the country on Tuesday. Now to our first interview of the morning, where Paula O'Leary from Chagas joins me on the line now. Paula, good morning.
Good morning, James.
So, Paula, you're talking cross compliance today. So, just to start off, what actually is that?
Well, if you want to receive a payment under the BPS or the Basic Payment Scheme, you have to follow a variety of regulations on a number of things, including the environment, climate change, good agricultural conditions of land, animals, public, plant health, and animal welfare. And that's what's known as cross compliance.
And how exactly is that implemented?
Well, cross-compliance is implemented under two main areas. The first area is called the SMRs, the Statutory Management Requirements. And there's 13 of them in total. And they're related to the environment, food safety, animal and plant health, and animal welfare. And the second area where it's implemented is under good agricultural and environmental conditions, which basically means that the farmer has an obligation of keeping the land in good agricultural environmental conditions, such as related to soil, the protection of soil organic matter, avoiding deterioration of any habitats on the farm, and water protection.
So I imagine there'd be a few different things under each of those sections then.
Yeah, like I said, under the SMRs, there's 13 SMRs there. And now the first three of them, which include protection of water against pollution by nitrates, conservation of wild birds, and conservation of habitats and wild flora and fauna, they come under the umbrella of environment, climate change, and good agricultural condition of the land. Then from SMR 4, which includes food and feed hygiene, it deals with registration of both pigs, cattle, sheep, goats, and also prevention and control of transmittable diseases, the spongiform diseases such as BVD in cattle and scrapie in sheep and goats. They be regarded under the public plant and animal health. And then the SMR 11 to 13, they deal with welfare of animals. So you have the welfare of calves, the welfare of pigs, and the welfare of all other farm animals.
And then the second one is good agricultural and environmental conditions.
Yes, there is seven of them under that. So we have establishment of a buffer strip, the HABGAEC 1, along water courses. The second one then, it's not applicable in Ireland. It's where the use of water irrigation is subject to authorisation. The third one is protection of groundwater against pollution. Fourth one refers to tillage, it's minimum soil cover. Fifth one is minimum land management reflecting site-specific conditions to minimise erosion. So that would include poaching, machinery rooting, sacrifice paddocks. The sixth one then is to maintain soil organic matter levels. And the seventh one is retention of landscape features and control invasive species.
Right, okay, so there's a lot under it. And is there a lot of record-keeping then to be completed under cross-compliance as well?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of it there. It includes having your herd register and flock books up to date. Medicine records have to be kept up to date for dosing and any medicines prescribed by the vets. A nutrient management plan should be in place where there'll be soil samples taken, and the results of that will be put into the nutrient management plan, telling you the limits that you can spread in terms of chemical phosphorus and nitrogen. And also, you need to keep records for pesticides.
Okay, and there's been a lot of talk lately about pesticides records. So when do these have to be completed?
Yeah, so the pesticide records, as I had said there earlier on, it comes in under one of the statutory measurement or management requirements, number 10, under the cross compliance. So you have to maintain these records and record when you purchase, use and dispose of any plant protection products, including herbicides, fungicides, insecticides and anything used, such as dairy disinfectants. The records have to be kept whenever you actually use them. So just if you were spraying a field, you have to go in afterwards and record where you sprayed it, the field that you sprayed it on, how much you sprayed in terms of area, what spray you used, and the dilution rate. As also, there's a PCS number and all pesticides, and that has to be recorded as well. And it's also important to remember that under cross compliance, these have to be stored. Any pesticide products have to be stored in a standalone unit that's lockable and that's capable of containing a spillage. You also have to have a warning sign displayed on the outside showing what's actually in the container. Protective clothing must be available, and there has to be a facility there for soaking up any spillages, such as a bucket of sand or something like that.
Okay. And now, a lot of people are on the GLAS scheme at the moment, so is there records required in that as well?
Yes, anyone who is approved in GLAS by the department would have received record sheets to be completed. In the record sheets, all the options are in the record sheets, but you just fill the options that whatever work you chose to do. And you also have to maintain a certain amount of receipts for any work completed in that as well.
And are there any deadlines coming up that we should be aware of?
I suppose the only thing, or the main thing that would be coming up now, would be the record three. That's where a farmer is either importing or exporting any type of slurry. That form has to be lodged with the Department of Agriculture by the 31st of December.
And what about any events, any of those coming up?
James, Chagas have organised a winter beef seminar in our office here in Kilrush on Tuesday night, the 4th of December at 7:30. So that's a KT event, and we have a good range of speakers organised for that.
Brilliant. And is that just you're able to kind of rock up on the night, or are tickets needed in advance or anything like
no,
that?
No, you can just come ahead on the night. So that's the 4th of December at 7:30.
Perfect. Paula, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Okay, James, thank you.
Paula O'Leary there. We'll take a quick break now, but before that, just to give a quick mention for the following. So to celebrate the festive season, Farm Focus sponsors Munster Group Insurance are giving three lucky listeners a chance to win your Christmas turkey and ham this year. So if you want to be in with the chance of winning this fantastic prize, just head over to munstergroup.com or pick up an entry form from Munster Group offices in Ennis or Kilrush either. So be sure to get on over there, and in the meantime, stay with us. I'll be back with more after this break. Welcome back to Clare FM's Farm Focus. It's James Mulhall with you here this morning. Before we move on, I just want to give a quick mention to an upcoming Chagas workshop being run in Ennis that I forgot to ask Paula about before the break. But the Options Workshop takes place this Wednesday in the Ennis Chagas offices, and that's an all-day event, and it does include a field visit to a cheese-producing farm in Oyna. You have to book that one in advance, but it's sure to be well worth the trip, and you can contact Chagas in Ennis on 065 6040 400 for more info on that. We've still got plenty to come, but before that, we'll just have a quick look at this week's Smart Report from Ennis. Here's Clare FM's Gavin Grace.
Thanks, James. Numbers beginning to fall off at Ennis Mart this past Tuesday, with 580 on offer. Trade holding good in the bulls, with the exception of the average quality heavy bulls. Heifers easier, but quality lots holding strong. Runners a solid trade, with heifers making to €680 and bulls to €780. Good demand for quality suckling stock, with in-calf heifer pairs made up to €1,800. Hogger trade improved again by about €2 per head, with a top call of €114 for a pen of 12. 12 at 52 kilos. Collyo's made 92 to 103 euro. In more detail then, Wainling Bulls, one limousine, 295 kilograms, 830 euro. One Charlie Cross, 340 kilos, 1,055 euro. One Charlie Cross, 390 kilos, 1,000 euro. And one limousine Cross, 355 kilos, 1,005 euro. While for Wainling Heifers, one limousine, 260 kilos, 765 euro. Two limousine, 332 kilos, 885 euros. One Charlie, 320 kilos, 830 euro. And three Charlie, 406 kilos, 980 euro. Back over to you, James.
Now, yesterday saw the ICMSA hold its AGM in Limerick and saw attendance from right across the country, including the top dogs in farming. So that would be European Commissioner Phil Hogan and Agriculture Minister Michael Creed. I'll have a report on this in Monday's Morning Focus and in our news as well on that day. But I'm just going to bring you a flavour of what was on offer over the next few minutes. So firstly, I spoke with the clear chair of the ICMSA, Martin McMahon, who we've spoken to several times on Farm Focus.
Definitely, Brexit is a serious issue, and it's very hard to know what is going to happen. It looks like it could be defeated in the House of Parliament, and if it is, it's a very serious issue for Ireland and for Clare and for every county, to which all the produce that's been produced in this country, at least about 50% of it is going to the English market. And if there's a problem with that, it is a very serious issue. And we can also see that sterling is weakening, which is a very serious issue as well. And we're hoping that other markets can be looked at, and that, you know, that our Minister Creed, that he can do something to make sure that farmers are not jeopardised because of Brexit. It's not our fault. It's England who's actually looking for to break away from Europe, and we shouldn't have to suffer because of that. And we are very far away from other markets. England was always our nearest market, and it would be a very serious issue if we were to lose that market. So we'd be hoping that no tariffs or anything like that, and we'd be allowed to trade with England. And hopefully, if we are, and if that is allowed, hopefully there should be a future for us trading with England, and that's what we'd like to see happen.
You're coming out of a difficult year. I suppose you've had the extremes in the weather in the past 12 months. You're heading into an even more difficult year because Brexit is going to happen in March. And it's probably very difficult to put your minds at ease given what's happened and what is going to happen. But, you know, it's not an easy time for the farming community.
Definitely not. We're after an extremely tough year where we saw the drought, we saw all the extra costs, we saw fodder having to be used during the summer, extra meal having to be fed to cattle during the summer. That's all adding to the costs. And I think, you know, we have huge costs incurred. We're facing into a tough year probably ahead of us, and you just wonder what is going to happen. And I think farmers are at a very low ebb. The feeling amongst farmers at the moment is they feel that they're left out and that nobody is thinking about them. And I suppose with the extra costs, and when you face into the spring, you're faced with costs. You have cows calving, extra meal to be fed, and you have fodder. You definitely have a scarcity of fodder. Hopefully, with the weather we've got in the back end of the year and leaving cattle out for longer, that will help, and that we'll get an early spring. If we get an early spring, it will be a huge help. But at the same time, the costs incurred, they have to be paid for. And unless the price of milk and the price of beef and the price of store cattle is good in the spring, farmers will definitely be in serious trouble. And with Brexit looming as well.
And we hear all the time, I suppose, about the, you know, the price of milk, the difficulties in that. I suppose within the farming sector itself, maybe dairy farmers performing slightly better than some other sectors, and some might say. But look, it's still going to be a difficult time for you. But have you heard anything today that puts your mind at ease, or do you think that farmers inside the room here, do they feel like in 5, 10 years' time, 20 years' time, is it going to be a realistic possibility for the next generation to take over the farm?
It's very hard to tell, but from looking at the age profile of people here today, you would say within 5 years, and that's a very short period of time, there's a lot of the farmers that are here today, they won't be farming in 5 years' time. And unless there is some young people to take it over, with no future at the present moment, there is no future for a young person to take over a farm and start farming at what the money is out of it, because families were reared on small holdings. There was a lot of small milk producers who made quite a good living, reared their families, educated their families. It's now taken 5 and 6 of those small holdings for one man to actually survive, and he's only barely struggling. So there isn't a future unless something changes, and unless Minister Creed and Phil Hogan, who is coming here today, unless they have a plan for farming in the future, the dead knell is striking and the bell is ringing, and famine is going down the jeopardy. And I think the consumer is the person that's going to suffer at the end of the day. They mightn't realise it now, but definitely if famine goes, and we are producing top quality milk, top quality beef, all our food that's produced in Ireland is, you can safely say, is organic, because it is an island. It's a green image. It has the greatest image all over the world. Green Ireland, food coming from Ireland is a lot expected from it. It's of a very high standard. And unless we're able to sell that product and get a premium price for it, and the like of Borbia, the minister, Phil Hogan, and these people have a lot to answer for if they don't try and keep farming, and especially the family farm, going in Ireland, it is a sad day if they don't try and do something about it.
Martin McMahon there. And just to add to that, I also spoke with John Jordan from the co-op Ornua about some of their issues that are presenting themselves at the moment.
Oh yeah, look, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, it shows how passionate farmers are about what goes on in the agri-dairy sector, and they're engaged, and it's great.
What is it, I suppose, that you're kind of taking away from today, from the discussion so far? What's the standout thing to you, the concern that maybe emerged from the floor?
Look, Irish farmers are consistent. You know, it's about, they're investing at farm level, there's growth in milk output, and is everybody in that supply chain focused on continuing to create value? And it's important for all of us that increased output doesn't mean commodity sales, it means value add, and try to add value to all of that additional milk.
Brexit was touched on as well, and look, it's going to be something that's going to dominate the whole sector for the foreseeable future anyway. And there is that underlying level of concern. How concerned is Ornua?
Yeah, look, Brexit is a bad news story. It's a challenge for everybody in the Irish food and dairy sector. And as I said earlier in the presentation, anything that inhibits the current status quo of free trade and free movement of people will be a challenge for us. I suppose there's risk around, even in a no-tariff environment, increased cost of going into service in the UK market. That will make Ireland less competitive, and potentially there'll be consumer inflation. And the challenge with consumer inflation, particularly in the UK market, is that we've seen it in the past. With higher prices, consumers buy less. So you get either less competitive or less demand from product, and that's a real concern.
I think you mentioned your own company as well. You're less reliant on the UK than you have been in previous years. That's a route that I suppose you're going to have to continue to go down to offset the impact of Brexit, and something I imagine that other companies should be looking at.
Yeah, market expansion sounds wonderful, and people say, well, Brexit's happening and therefore diversify and expand your markets, but it's a massive challenge and not something you do overnight. Developing new markets takes time, takes resource, people, and takes financial investment. But certainly from an Ornua perspective, 10 years ago, we decided we were over-reliant in the UK long before any of these headlines were on the agenda. And I think we've been very fortunate that over that intervening period, we've significantly reduced our reliance on the UK. That said, UK is still a huge market, in particular for cheddar. And access to the UK market for cheddar is an important market for us.
John Jordan there, and that means we're out of time for this week. But just before we go, to give a quick mention again to our sponsors, Munster Group Insurance, here on Farm Focus. So to celebrate the festive season, Munster Group Insurance are giving 3 lucky listeners a chance to win your Christmas turkey and ham this year. And if you do want to be in with a chance of winning that fantastic prize, just head over to munstergroup.com, or you can pick up an entry form in Munster Group Insurance or in Munster Group Insurance Ennis or Kilrush offices. So be sure to get on over there. And that is our lot for this week. I'll have more on the ICMSA's event on Monday, and indeed I will be back with more Farm Focus next week. But in the meantime, stay with us here on Clare FM. Country Corner's up after these.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.